It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson. We might have the technology for lots of people with digital skills to work from wherever they want, but those high-paying jobs in the tech industry, well, they're basically staying where they've always been, in a limited number of tech industry hubs. This is according to a new report from the jobs site Indeed.com. Indeed looked at information on job postings around the country in the last 6 months. Jed Kolko is chief economist for Indeed, and we called him up at the company's offices to talk. Jed, what did you focus on in culling through your data?
So we focused on these 8 tech hubs. These are all places where tech accounts for a larger than usual share of jobs in the local market. But it turns out that some places outside these 8 tech hubs also have a lot of high-paying and fast-growing jobs in tech, which help make them look, in some ways, like a smaller version of Silicon Valley.
Oh, okay. Well, lay it on me. Where are they?
So some of the places that are not well-known big tech hubs are places like Boulder, Colorado, and Provo, Utah, where we see more of the higher salary jobs and jobs in emerging tech occupations.
Were there any surprises for you in the data that you looked at?
It is surprising that we're not seeing tech jobs disperse more across the country. Some of the places that are the traditional tech hubs are very expensive. The Bay Area has among the highest housing costs in the country, as do many of these other top tech hubs. Despite that, we're seeing the higher paying and cutting-edge tech jobs increasingly concentrated in those places.
So the other economic factors that might contribute to pushing people who are interested in doing that tech work, pushing talent outside of these places, doesn't seem to be doing it.
That's right. The value of having these concentrated labor markets of people with very specialized cutting-edge skills outweighs the high cost of living in many of these top tech hubs. It's also striking that there are smaller, more affordable places where that mix of tech jobs does look like Silicon Valley, and also places that are gaining share of America's tech opportunities.
Jed Kolko, he is chief economist for Indeed.com. Jed, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Ben.
By the way, we've got a whole big series on burgeoning tech hubs around the United States. You can find that at marketplacetech.org. If you're building a piece of software right now, it's hard to imagine a piece of evidence for your future success that is better than some nerd refiltering some of your software's data as music. Okay, maybe not the most beautiful music ever made, but that is visual data from the Microsoft program MS Paint turned into audio data. And it's been played 350,000 times online because people love this simplistic art program that's been in Windows since 1985. Well, RIP MS Paint. News came this week that the company would be phasing out support of the program. It will instead support a newer program, Paint 3D. A lot of people are bummed about this. BBC technology reporter Zoe Kleinman is here to talk. Zoe, hi.
Hi there.
So there's probably not a huge industry that uses MS Paint every day in 2017, right?
You know, you'd be surprised by how many people use it. There are professional artists who are illustrating books using Microsoft Paint. There's a chap called Jimmel Paint It, who's an artist who takes commissions from the public on very strange ideas that they have for paintings. And he does the whole thing and proudly does the whole thing in Microsoft Paint. So it does still have a home professionally. But yes, you're right. It's not going to be catastrophic for industry. But what's interesting is the nostalgia and the sort of affection that people seem to have for this old program.
Is the program going to live on somehow thanks to Microsoft Paint enthusiasts?
Yeah, I don't know. What's quite interesting is that somebody tweeted, a guy called Mike Daly, who created the Lemmings and Grand Theft Auto games, so he sort of knows his stuff. He had a really interesting idea. He said, why don't they release the source and make it, put it in the public domain, which would mean that we could kind of have an open source Paint that maybe would also have the advantage of working on computers that weren't running the Windows operating system. And then we could all sort of share the joy joy collectively of this 32-year-old computer program. I can't think of many that are held in such high esteem.
Is there an MS Paint of right now? Are people kind of falling in love with a simplistic painting program in 2017? Or is today's generation of digital doodlers just Snapchatting or something?
I think that the rise of the touchscreen has changed the way in which we use, amateurs rather than professionals, that we're able to doodle, I guess, digitally. And I think, you know, there are lots of apps out there that are sort of, you know, enabling you to use your finger as your paintbrush, which kind of feels more natural. So I think things have evolved. But, you know, the beauty of paint, really, and also the curse of it, was that the images that you create do sort of tend to have a certain basic look to them that's kind of endearing.
Endearing it is. Zoe Kleiman, technology reporter for the BBC. Zoe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And before we go, Budapest has a new train system. That train system had a security flaw. A young security researcher hacked in, then reported it to the public transit system authority. They reported him to the police. He got arrested for demonstrating the security issue. Cut to 46,000 one-star reviews of the new system on Facebook. A reminder that no matter who you are, you court the righteous indignation of the internet at your peril. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.